Scripture this morning comes from Philippians, several different passages. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Steve?
Just our answers to your family, truth, words, trust, love, worshiping joyfully and praise merrily. Things done better together than alone. Lifting a heavy item. That could be physically or spiritually, right? Or a piano, if anybody wants to do that. Making decisions, especially decisions that affect the community. Shared grief divides the burden or any difficulty. Also, shared joy multiplies joy. So sharing griefs or joys. Working with others has recently become a joy. Fellowship around hard work or easy work makes either easier. Singing, mutual aid, baptism. We are all gifted differently, and the blessed of all makes life much richer. The blessings of all makes much richer. Family celebrations, yes. Eating meals. Worship. Eating together. Singing, especially in harmony. Yes. I just had a couple more. Donovan and I have been meeting. He's going through a class of spiritual disciplines. And so we're talking about different ways we practice them in our lives. And one of the most recent was confessing. And we talked about how confessing, you can do that between you and God, and that's so important. But to confess, to share something with another person that you trust, and you know that person will support you, pray for you, but also hold you accountable. There's something powerful in that partnership too, and not just the vertical with God. So we're going to talk more about these things this morning. As we look at Philippians 1, the scripture that Nelson just read for us. I read this week that you could think of the opening of Philippians 1, Paul's letter, as similar to a ministry support letter. You know, we may have written one of those, we may have received one of those, where someone is going out to do some type of ministry, mission work, and they're asking for support, whether it's prayers or other ways or financial. And the purpose of that letter is to help the person receiving it feel like they're an active part of what's about to happen. Not just that they might incidentally write a check without much thought, but somehow to let them know that they're an important part of what's going on, that this is what's happening, and you're a vital participant in that work. And that's what Paul seems to be communicating here, that the Philippian church is so vital, so much a part and partnership with what with the ministry that he's a part of. The next slide. That in verse, I think it's verse 5, it talks about, I must have these in different order. So participation in the gospel. That word participation is the word koinonia. Does that sound familiar to you? That we often use that in church settings. It means community. It means fellowship. It means participation. It means sharing together. So there's parts of that that are more having to do with relationship or a sense of community, partner, you know, that we are one. We just sang we are one in the Spirit. It also has an active part to it, that we're participating together, we're sharing together, that somehow it's not just a static, we have these relationships, but somehow together we're doing the work of the Lord when we think about the church. So I have a couple examples. One, John, could we show the video? It'll be about the first 2 minutes. I just thought this was a good example of just actively, joyfully participating in a cause. Check this out.
Mary did it, George. Mary did it. She told some people you were in trouble with it. They scattered all over town collecting money. Didn't ask any questions. Just said, George in trouble. And tell me.
What is this? Like
a spread like
fair. Another run on the bank? Here, George. Merry Christmas.
There we are. The Lime Farms on the right. The Lime Farms on the right.
I wouldn't have a roof over my head if it wasn't for you, George.
Just a minute. Hey. Quiet, everybody. Right. Quiet.
Now get this. It's from London.
Oh.
Mr. Gower cabled you need cash. Stop. My office instructed to advance you up to $25,000. Stop.
Oh. Hee-haw and Merry Christmas, Sam Wainwright.
Okay. That's good. Thanks. Just that collective energy of wanting to contribute is just a great example of koinonia. Pictures. Remember this at our retreat where we all contributed by, and the next one too, just putting these puzzles together to get the whole eventually in the end. Okay, you can go on to the next. So, one more example of this kind of collective koinonia. Exodus 36. This might sound familiar. The Lord instructed the people of Israel in the wilderness to build the tabernacle. Moses summoned Bezalel, and Oholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people contributed by bringing freewill offerings morning after morning, so that all the skilled workers who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left what they were doing and said to Moses, "The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work of the Lord that he's commanded us to do." So Moses gave an order, and they sent the word throughout the camp, "No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering to the sanctuary." And so the people were restrained from bringing more, because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work. So what a great response, you know, to that particular need and that cause that to be obedient to the Lord. So koinonia has kind of several senses to it. One is just that deep relationship and unity together. It also has the sense of our contribution, everybody making their contribution to the work of the Lord. And it can also be this joint contribution. That's a gift offered to someone in need or to a cause that's on our heart. Next slide. In Philippians 1:6, Paul talks about this partnership, and he said, from the first day until now. And if we could just picture from the time that the church in Philippi was founded until now, think of all the people that were incorporated into that fellowship, and in whatever ways that they were encouraging each other and building up the church, but also supporting Paul in his work. It's nice to think specifically, if you remember from Acts 16, how this church came together. Paul went to Philippi. First of all, he had this vision of a man in Macedonia saying, come over here. And so Paul went, and he went to Philippi, and he went and he found Lydia and a group of women praying by the riverside, and ministered to them, and he started meeting in with a group in Lydia's house. There was that slave girl that Paul freed from that the spiritual oppression that she was under. Paul and Silas were thrown into jail. They were worshiping and singing. The prison doors opened miraculously. They were freed. The jailer thought he was done for, so he was going to take his own life. Paul said, we're all here. And by the end of that night, Paul had baptized his whole household. You know, so, you know, these women that were meeting by the riverside, this slave girl, the jailer, assuming that they all became part of that church, what a diverse group of people the Lord was bringing together, incorporating to do the work of the Lord there in that place. Like he's doing here, like he does everywhere. And as he goes on in that, confident that the one God who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion on the day of the Lord. That particular scripture, God who began a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We often read that as a word of encouragement for an individual believer. And it is. I'm pretty sure it's a plural you. But it goes beyond just, you know, like June, the one who began a good work in you is bringing it to completion. But thinking of the whole church, that the Spirit of God's at work in us, uniting us together, but also preparing us or empowering us to be his servants together and to accomplish the gospel and the work of the Lord. In the next chapter, in chapter 2, verse 13, Paul writes, God is at work in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purposes. So that sense of the empowering is from God to, again, experience this koinonia together, both our unity and also everything that we contribute together for the gospel. William Barclay says that the terms that Paul uses here as far as God beginning a good work and completing it, he says they're technical terms that mean the beginning and the end of a sacrifice. So if you think about it, so God's at work, initiating and completing his work among us. Our role is to sacrificially offer ourselves. Yes, I will be a part of that. Yes, here I am, a living sacrifice, willing to be part of the koinonia of this church. And we could think of us at Wiltmere Heights, but also the church universal or worldwide. That God's the one taking initiative. God's at work, but we are offering ourselves fully. Yes, I'll be a part of that. Yes, I'll contribute to be part of all that God's doing in our midst. The next scripture in verse 7, again, Paul says, it's right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. You also see the heart of Paul, the devotion of Paul towards these people. Whether I'm in chains or defending, can you go back again, April? Yeah. Whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. Share in God's grace is again the word koinonia. It's koinonia together. We're sharing together in God's grace. Again, God's grace meaning his mercy, his forgiveness, his reconciliation, all of that that has to do with God's grace towards us. But also God's grace meaning God gives us a purpose. God gives us opportunities to serve him. God gives us giftings to serve him. God gives us the privilege to be a part of his kingdom work. So that grace is partly the mercy and the forgiveness that he offers, the favor. But it's also what he's doing to allow us to be part of his good work here in this world. For Paul, it would be, you're joining with me in sharing the gospel in these different places. And then one more scripture that I'd like to look at. It's from chapter 2, verse 1. And Paul has this series of statements. I'll just read it first of all. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you have any comfort from his love, if you have any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete, being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. That series of four statements there in the beginning. The first one, if there's any encouragement, and that means more encouragement forward. Like when we encourage each other to press on, when we strengthen each other for the journey, that if there's any of that going on, if there's any comfort, that's more how we relate today when we're struggling. If there's any comfort, if there's any consolation, if there's any sympathy, it's how we are there for one another along the journey of life, in our struggles or in our joys, as we mentioned from our papers. If there's any fellowship of the Spirit, again, that's the word koinonia. If there's any koinonia of the Spirit, again, that sense, if the Spirit of God is truly at work in you, if the Spirit of God is bringing you together and launching you forward to each other and to the world. And finally, if there's any affections and tenderness, much more that if you have a heart for one another. Paul says in this chapter, whenever I pray for you, I pray with joy. And he says, I have you in my heart. That tenderness, that affection that he has for the people, as opposed to being a group of factions or gossip or disrespect or avoidance of one another. You know, it's that mutual affection and tenderness towards each other. So I'd like to pull us all this together in application. Can you go to the next slide? And here, just want to suggest these things, the ways that we can participate together in the gospel, as Paul is calling us to. What does that look like? The first is just the way that we strengthen each other in our faith. By the way, I have a handout that you can continue to think through these things, and all these things are listed on the paper in the back. Paul, the part of Philippians 1 after what we read, Paul says, I'm here, I'm a prisoner, I think it's in Rome, and the guard is around him, Praetorian guard, and he talks about how he's having an influence on them. And his ministry is giving boldness to other people as they see and hear about Paul in action. But any ways that we are strengthening one another in our faith. I mentioned honoring this morning spiritual mothers. All the ways that you have some kind of an influence by your example, by your teaching, by your love that you show. It's all those things that we do to contribute to make the other stronger here in our midst. It could be again your example, the way you maybe invest in a particular person or a family, your teaching, the way you worship, that becomes, that spreads around you. Somebody mentioned there's something about serving together, where you're side by side, working for the Lord, and doing that side by side somehow, has a powerful effect, more than just hearing a message or something like that that's more passive, but the ways that we actually are shoulder to shoulder, serving the Lord, praying together, you know, all those kinds of things. So the question we could each ask is how am I making that contribution to that strengthens my brothers and sisters? The second, mutual affections and compassions. That's seen in how there's an outpouring of response when there's a need in our midst. It's seen in how we honor the least among us, however that might look, that nobody's forgotten in our fellowship here. It's ways that we might show appreciation to one another. And it goes beyond our church, but how we show affection or how our heart goes out to needs around us. Somebody down the road having a fire, and somehow we respond to help them. There's all kinds of examples we could give of that. The third is how we pool our contributions together for ministry. I think about when we supported the Safi family several years ago, and a number of people had different roles. I remember Dan Zook was especially the technology person. I think he really helped them with computer kind of things. We had lots of drivers from our fellowship here. I always thought of Anna coming alongside them and helping them to navigate life, the school system, medical, things like that. I remember April getting a Erie Insurance a car quote for their daughter, taking them for clothing at CVCCS, all those things pulled together. Last fall when we had our retreat and we had some concerns about Nathan's safety when eating, and I think there was about five of us who helped him. But there was something about pulling together to help him, you know, who's with him, who can help this lunch or this supper, you know, and helping each other figure out how to make it all work. If we could picture someone joining us that's newer to the faith and how different people from the congregation might help that person on that, the beginning steps of that journey. Each of us contributing different ways to nurture that faith. The fourth is, again, these signs or ways that we show generosity towards a cause. Paul, in his writings, commended the Macedonian church, including Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea, because when he was making that big collection for the Jerusalem church, because there was a famine there, he said that these churches gave beyond their means. They not only gave what they had, but they gave beyond what they could afford to show amazing generosity towards their brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. I think of having Swan here, the children's choir. We might not have had this huge offering or collection for them, but just helping them to get out into the community, you know, make connections where their ministry influence can increase. I think there's something there that we want to keep open to the community in those generous ways. Being hospitable with our facilities, with the various churches that meet here, the deaf services downstairs, that generosity with the space that we have. And the last one is suffering. Even sharing, like having an open heart to the suffering around us, whether it's in our congregation or in this world, that there's an open heart to know that there's a lot of struggle going on, and that we are participating together just to kind of sit with and acknowledge the pain, but also in any way that we can help alleviate it, that we are available for that. So Paul often talks about, this is in closing, advancing the gospel. And that advancing, that word's often used like an advance party in an army. They go ahead, they cut down the trees, whatever's necessary to prepare for the army to come through. When we think about advancing the gospel, we might think of it in terms of victorious ways, but often the ways that it's advanced is by suffering with others. It's by building relationships with other people, by investing our lives in others, much prayer on our knees, you know. It's these kind of things that where we become, again, an offer. We offer ourselves to be part of, together, to be part of what God is doing. So, can we go back to a picture? Just so you can see the jigsaw pieces. Each one of you is a piece, and God's putting us together to be part of how he is bringing forth his gospel, advancing the gospel. So let's be mindful of how God's calling us to be part of those, to be that piece as part of the overall fabric or puzzle of how he's building his church. May God bless us to be a church of koinonia, as Paul calls us to. Thanks.